Hello and welcome. Thank you for joining me. My name is Russell Trafford-Jones and this is Broadcast Focus, where we talk to the people behind the industry. I'm very happy to invite today Ben Foreman to the show. Ben is a final year university student at the University of Surrey, studying film production and broadcast engineering. So it's no surprise that in his final year, there's a very interesting production that we want to have a look at. Well, Ben, welcome to the show. Thanks for being here.
Thanks so much for having me. I'm really excited to be here.
Ben, first of all, let's introduce you before we look behind the curtain at the production you're producing. You've been at University of Surrey for a few years now. Give us a feel for what brought you into this type of degree and the types of things which have kept you most interested at the university.
Yeah, absolutely. So when I was in school, I was really into videography and live events and stuff. I just loved, just working with cameras, but also I just love working on things that were live, things that you could only do once. So I think when I was in school, I didn't really know what I wanted to do, and I was keeping my options open, doing things like computer science and stuff like that. And I was just looking at courses that could combine like my creative intent that I enjoyed with my videography, but also something that had a technical background as well, because I enjoyed stuff like computer science and the engineering kind of stuff. So long story short, I landed on this course, which at the time was called Film and Video Production Technology, and is now Film and Broadcast Engineering. So the course just kind of summed up all my interests, really. It touched 50% on making films and the creative side and how to achieve really good looking images, but also how to use engineering and technical knowledge in order to make your films and make other things like broadcasts work and look great. So that was kind of my way into the course, really. And since first year, it's just been amazing, and I've absolutely loved the breadth of stuff it's covered. And in third year, they send us on placements, and on my placement, I went to a company called Aerial Camera Systems, where they do remote and specialized cameras for live broadcasts. So I spent a year doing a lot of football, but also some interesting events as well, like the Queen's funeral and what else did I do? Wimbledon, which is great. So the placement here is amazing, and it's the thing that this course facilitated me to be able to do and walk into there with some sort of knowledge in order to then keep learning more. So it's been a really fantastic 3 years, and now I'm in my final year working on some cool projects too. So it's been fantastic.
I do like the bringing together of the technology and the creative side, because I think particularly in filmmaking, if you look at the breakthrough films, it's always been because people have understood like what the medium can do. And by medium, we're talking about the technology that makes anything happen. So whether it was back in the days of overlaying film on top of film and drawing on top of stuff so the light can get through. And then we saw people understanding how to move models and reproduce it with robot arms. It's all about that ability to understand how to push things forward. So if you're purely creative, it's all the more difficult to do that.
Absolutely. Learning how to use the equipment as well, and learning the tools that are available to you and how to use them to their advantage. It's so helpful. And I've seen my own personal skills come on so much in the last 4 years, just because I now know what color space is and, the correct frame rates to use. It's all silly stuff now, but, I think when you don't have that background, you just don't really know what you're working with. You just trust people on the internet that they know what they're talking about. So it's been fantastic.
Cool. So tell us about the production that you're producing. First caught my eye a couple of years ago, called Univision, and I think it's people who are aware of Eurovision will quickly spot similarities, but there's nothing wrong with that. And I think that what makes me most interested in it is that nobody who knows anything about Eurovision thinks it's a small or easy show to put on. And so I think it's really great that you've got this idea within the student community to do your own version, which will also not be easy to put on, I'm sure.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a really exciting production, and it came about in 2021 when I think some students were sitting in a pub. I was in first year at the time, but some final year students at the time were sitting in a pub, and they came up with this idea of a spin-off show that could have outside sources and be distributed to different student TV societies in order to broadcast different versions, like a world feed almost, but also get loads of people involved from around both the university, but also different universities around the country to really bring people together. So there was a huge vision when it started, and I think that's what's allowed it to continue on into its fourth year this year.
That's cool. I think your vision started as a way of showing off how to do live video, that live video was possible internationally. And so it sounds like there's a similar kind of feel. Well, why don't we just do this, do that, do a big show? It'd be really interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's just such a great opportunity. The idea is so large scale. There's just so much you can do with it. You know, you're not, you know, keeping yourself into this kind of small area of focus, or, you know, the idea is big. So there's so much you can do. You know, there's every year we, you know, in the past couple of years, we're watching, oh, where can we put another camera? How can we make this even more brilliant? And there's just so much scope for improvement and for more exciting things to be done. So yeah, it's a really cool production that I've been involved in its first year in 2021, 2022 as well. Then on placement, I wasn't at uni, so I wasn't involved, but then coming back this year to kind of lead it has been a really good experience so far.
So let's just look at the creative side of it first. In order to have a song contest, you've got to have people singing songs. So how does that work? Where do they come from? How do you get in touch with the people?
So we had a list of university contacts that have been built up over the last 3 years. And it was just a case of getting in touch with them saying, look, this is the UK's biggest student singing competition, you know, that's at least the biggest student broadcast that's a singing competition. And I think a lot of unis just absolutely love that. And even though Univision is just a couple of us at Surrey, you know, different kind of committee each year kind of organizing it, all the universities jump at it and they see it as a great opportunity, both for their kind of creative students, but also to get their students involved in other things outside of their university. I think everyone sees it as a great opportunity to collaborate, especially between student unions and departments and things. I think people really go for it. So yeah, it was just a case of contacting people and allowing universities to submit their own acts that they thought would represent university best. So we advise that they hold their own heats events, a bit like countries doing Eurovision. Yeah. Okay. So this year at Surrey, we did our own. It was held in December, and we just had 7 acts who had signed up, and they came and performed in our TV studio. It was a super kind of small scale production, but we still put lots of effort into it, kind of training people up and kind of seeing who might be fit for a role next week when we do the proper grand final. So the heats are a great opportunity, but also universities are free just to submit whoever they fancy. There's a lot of scope.
Okay, and so I guess the, you know, the benefit of Eurovision is that it gives people a leg up. I mean, similarly here, people at least are getting that practice, that experience of being in front of a TV studio or TV cameras and performing. So I guess that's also part of the draw.
Absolutely. And the joy of Univision is that it's not film and video production. So I've said the wrong name, do it all the time. Film production and broadcast engineering is running Eurovision. Univision is happening on campus. You know, it's not tied to the TV society, it's not tied to our course. So anyone can come and do it. And we work very closely with Stag TV, who are our student TV society here at Surrey, and they are fantastic, and they are able to draw in a lot of people who just don't study anything like this. You know, we've got people doing kind of physics and maths and business studies, you know, all sorts of kind of academic walks coming together, people operating cameras who have never even seen a camera before, let alone know any of the technology behind it. So it's a really great way of bringing people in, because everyone, as you said, everyone knows what Eurovision is, and therefore they can figure out what Univision might be. And I think having the opportunity from that perspective of people being able to come from their courses that are in no way related and then carrying on working on shows like this, people love it. And you know, we've had some amazing camera operators and sound people and even things like runners and floor managers come from courses who, you know, we've got nothing to do with it. A good example is we had a guy studying computer science, and he ended up being one of the most senior lighting directors in the last couple of years at Univision. You know, he joined a society called Stage Crew, which is also here at Surrey. And he, you know, even though his degree had nothing to do with live production, he came in and loved it so much that now he has basically a career in broadcast. He's working on outside broadcast now. So Univision's a great way of showing students on campus who'd otherwise have no idea what a broadcast engineer even is. Yeah. They now understand how a broadcast works, what the kind of workflow is like, what it's like to work on one, and you know, the satisfaction you get from that. And then they're inspired to maybe look further afield and see what opportunities are out there. Because I think a bit like me, like before I came on this course, I didn't really know what jobs there were behind the TV screen. And now I do. Yep. And I think Univision's a great way of getting other people, not just people on my course, but other people at university and different societies to actually learn what goes on. So it's really fantastic.
Yeah, that's really important. And, you know, same for me. I didn't understand when I went to uni and I didn't do a broadcast degree. But then, you know, through student radio, I was slowly shown why broadcast was fun. So it's really important to have like those links. So I'm pleased to hear that's a good idea. You've sent me through some photos. So yeah. Let's have a quick look, because these do look really cool. So are these from last year or just throughout the...
These are actually all from last year. So kind of is a good opportunity to see where we're at the moment, really.
Yeah, that's really good. And explain to us where this is. This is actually at Surrey. And what are we looking at here? Which room, which area?
So this is in a place called University Hall. And I'd say it's like the gym on campus. You know, if you're at school and you've got your sports hall, it's effectively the same thing. You know, during the week, we've got dodgeball going on in there. But the Theatre Society have just done their yearly show there this mm-hmm. weekend. So it's a great multi-purpose space, and it's got fibre links to the rest of the university. So we've got single mode fibre patched to Stag TV, and we've got mm-hmm. it patched to our gallery elsewhere. So basically, when we do this production, it's all fully remote. Well, I say fully remote, somewhat remote. You know, the gallery is in a... I have to walk there. So... It's a great space, a really good multi-purpose space. And Stage Crew, who you can see in this photo, the guy doing the lighting, who set up a lot of the lighting and the staging for us, they're quite used to working in University Hall for multiple things. So it's a great space.
I presume that's the crew from last year?
Certainly is.
Nice. And, so is it a big crew? I mean,
absolutely. And I think, you know, the numbers do fluctuate, but it's somewhere around, you know, 70 to 100. There's a few less than that in that picture, but there is a lot of people, you know, behind the scenes and, you know, working in a lot of different areas, you know, as in any broadcast. But again, so many of those students I could point out on that screen who, you know, less than half are from our course, and mm-hmm. others are just people who are joining societies, getting involved, learning what this kind of stuff is all about.
And this is, whereabouts is this located? So this isn't in the hall. This is
in our gallery. So this gallery is a brand new gallery that we've just had built for our department, really. And I'm sure Susan Pratt could tell you some numbers and figures behind how much it all costs and everything. But it's a fantastic facility that we've got. We've got a great sound stage as well next to where this gallery is. And mm-hmm. it's fantastic. This is kind of more of our course thing. But the great thing is that there's people who go and work in the gallery who also are on our course, and they'll start operating things that they've never seen before.
That's great. So how many people, how many groups get through to that final day?
It actually fluctuates every year. We don't really have any hard and fast limits, really. As far as I'm concerned, the more acts, the better. But this year we've got 5 acts, and then we've got a couple of auxiliary acts performing in like the interval, mm-hmm. kicking off the show and stuff. So I think this year we've got 7 musical numbers, and 5 of them are... Okay. from other universities, so it does fluctuate every year, but it's nice to kind of not have hard and fast rules and just kind of sure. and deal with the challenges of that each year.
And how long is the show?
Don't be on the spot like that. I reckon it's probably an hour and a half by the end. Mm-hmm. A lot of the show is taken up, so we've got it kind of starts off with all the acts, and then we have an interval show. So we have a really great voting system that was written from scratch by one of our previous students. And so while the voting goes on online, we have an interval show just to kind of give enough time for voting. And that's kind of a whole other production in itself. In second year on our course, we have a TV studio module where you have to design your own TV kind of program that lasts 10 to 15 minutes. And, right. you know, this interval show is probably almost double that time. And that's just like a tiny part of Univision. It's not the afterthought, but it's certainly like everyone goes, oh, yeah, I've got the interval show to think about. So. It's a great multifaceted production. So you've got some people working on all the musical acts and performances, and you've got other people working on essentially a chat show in the middle, you know, and it's great. It's a really nice mix of style within one production.
And with respect to actually filming the music, you know, we've all seen these behind the scenes galleries where you've got the, I can't remember now. Anyway, somebody's counting down bar by bar, and then calling, literally calling the shots every other bar to make sure it times with the music. How much of that can you do, and to time the shooting and the choosing of the cameras to the music? Because it must be pretty difficult.
Yeah, well, I'm really pleased you said that, because I wanted to talk about this, and I feel like you know what I'm about to say.
I'm sure I do.
Well, so we actually really lucky to work with a company called QPilot, and they make an app or software that Eurovision use, and basically it's a shot planning app and an automation app for basically producing live musical performances. So yep. I'm not gonna do a very good job of this, but essentially you plan your shots to a music track, and then when it comes to the night, every camera operator has their phone mounted next to the camera, and you see the countdown to your next shot and what type of shot it's going to be, you know, mid shot, close up, and see what other cameras are coming before you, how long your shot's going to be. Literally, you see kind of bars moving down as you kind of work through the performance. And all of our performances at Univision are time code, so all the lighting synced, the vision mix is all synced, and it's actually really cool, and it's great. I actually love the fact that we use QPilot, because Eurovision use it. And if you watch any behind the scenes of Eurovision, you'll see these QPilot videos of, you know, the director's calling the shots sometimes, but actually QPilot's doing all the work, because the camera ops just see it. It's all there. You know, the director doesn't need to say anything. The director's just affirming what's going on. So it's an amazing piece of software, and we're really lucky to be able to work with QPilot and kind of use their facilities each year.
Okay, that's great. I didn't know you were using that. That's really good. And one of the reasons I said I thought it might be difficult is with great respect to your acts, you know, it takes a lot of skill to be able to also do the same piece of music in exactly the same way every time. So I guess you know that works out well. You must, if you're using that, it must work well both for the acts and for the crew.
Yeah, it does. And it just gives a bit of confidence to what it's going to look like. And it allows us, like Eurovision, to make the performances really compelling to watch.
Yeah.
And so what we do is, before the acts come and join us, we get them to send us a performance video. So we say, film yourself and show us exactly what you can do on that stage. And half the time they'd completely forget it all. But when during the rehearsal week, we learn, and then we adjust the QPilots accordingly. So right now, the week before the rig of the show, we've got people working on the QPilot kind of shot lists for each track. We've got all the tracks and we've got the performance videos, but I'm sure as we actually get into that room and get it all rigged and run through some acts, we'll go, oh, let's actually use that angle there, or oh, she walks right instead of left, let's adjust that. So the great thing about QPilot is a lot of flexibility, but we do try and work with the acts beforehand to get as much information out of them as possible, but it does vary. But they're all great, and I think a lot of the acts are surprised by how professional it all is. I think some of them just think they're coming to a talent show, you know, and just, you know, going to sing on the stage and then leave. But they're like, wow, I didn't realize it was going to be this, you know, this complex. And they're always fascinated. In previous years, they've gone, wow, this is amazing to see how it all comes together. So it all comes back to inspiring people about, you know, what's out there in this industry, in this area, really. So
yeah, no, I can believe that. And I think what's nice is, like, we both know that some people just come together, right, because they like singing and like be in a band, but there's plenty of people who effectively are at the cusp of or well on their way to making their own band as part of their career or their life, and so, you know, to give them the opportunity to do such a professional level performance, it's really cool.
Absolutely. I mean, I think in the first year, our winning act, Alice, she posted a live performance of her single. She, you know, it was good enough for her to repost as a live music video, as it were, of a live performance, you know, rather than having a camera at the back of a stage. You know, she's got this properly kind of organized music video, as it were. So it's really great. And it's nice to be able to benefit people in this position. I think they all want opportunities, and this is a win-win, you know. They get a great opportunity to perform, and we get great acts that we can do some cool shots for and put on a really great production for. So it's a fantastic opportunity for everyone.
So it's going to be hosted by Stag TV, which is the University of Surrey Student TV Society. Is that right?
Absolutely, yeah. So they're like, we call them our host broadcaster. So obviously when the show was first kind of envisioned, we kind of, it was the, you know, the first year was at Surrey, Stag TV the host broadcaster. And then the year after, the plan was to move to other universities, but no one could really find the resources to take it on. So Stag TV have remained the host broadcaster for the last 4 years. But it's great to be able to work with them.
Yeah, I'm sure they do a great job. So on the night, I guess univision.show is probably the best.
Yeah, there'll be a link on there to take you to the stream, which will be on Stag TV. But yeah, univision.show is a place to go, and we'll update that with all the links.
So I think on the on Stag TV's page here, we can see all the things they've been up to recently. And if we go to their lives, then these are the Surrey Heats, I think you were talking about.
Yeah, so the top left will be the Surrey Heats. That's an event we did in our TV studio, so the new soundstage that we've had installed. We still had stage crew involved, still had statue involved, but we did it in our facilities just to kind of reduce the the workload a little bit. And it was a smaller scale production, you know. And the Heats were amazing, but as you can see, there's all the other broadcasts there, which everyone's welcome to watch as well. It's great to see how it changes and improves in previous years, because you've got different teams every time, you know, and it's been really great to see it kind of evolve and change over time.
So when is the event happening? When's the big day?
The 23rd of March, so in a couple of weeks. So not long. There's a lot to do. the 23rd of March at 7 p.m.
Excellent. Okay, so it's streamed online, so people can come and have a look at that. It's also possible to go and visit if you happen to be near the University of Surrey in Guildford. There's still some tickets available from what I can see here.
Certainly are. Got to get some audience ambience in the room, you know? So if anyone's happy to come down, then we'd love to have you. But we like to say it's a broadcast first production, and that's something that actually, in previous years, it's been more of, even as a big broadcast, it's the lighting and a lot of the stuff has been done for the people in the room. So this year, I've really tried to go for the broadcast first thing. So there's no out of gamut colours used in the lights and stuff like that. Just silly little things. But we're still really excited to kind of bridge the gap between having a live production that people can come and enjoy, but also really focus on that broadcast side of it. So yeah, it should be really good. I'm really excited for it, but there's a lot to do. So,
I'm sure there is. But you got a good team and a big team, so I'm sure it'll come out really well. Excellent. So, we look forward to watching live on the 23rd of March. Thanks for letting us understand a little bit behind the scenes. I really appreciate you coming on the show, Ben. Thanks a lot.
Oh, thanks so much for having me. It's been really good. And if anyone watches it, I really hope you enjoy it.
I'm sure there'll be plenty, and the best way to watch more talks and interviews like this is to subscribe to the channel, so please do so. It'd be very much appreciated. So thanks for tuning in. Appreciate you being with us, Ben, and look forward to speaking to you in the future.
Yeah, me too. Thanks so much.